What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to hour number two of our show today here. And joining me on the telephone is Mario Cifaldi of a product called Silver Lungs. He's just joined our Ohana of advertisers over at whatreallyhappened.com. And Mario, thank you for taking time and joining us on the show today. And I'm really kind of interested to learn more about your product. And I'm going to let you talk about it a little bit, and then I'll explain what my interest in it is after you're done.
Of course, Mike. Great to be on with you. The Silver Lungs generator is a high alkaline water pH generator combined with a colloidal and ionic silver generation device that allows you to create endless colloidal / ionic silver solutions, and it gives you all of the devices and applicators you need to deliver and put the silver anywhere in or on the body. That's the real trick with silver. There's a really big misconception about how to use silver to begin with. We're so accustomed to drinking or taking a pill as, you know, of course, the fastest and easiest ingestion method. Using some common examples like pink eye, you wouldn't drink silver. You need to get the silver directly in the eye. If you think about what you do when you drink silver, let's take an ounce, for example. It's a very common, maybe even a tablespoon, intake regimen that many people have who take silver regularly. You're diluting that across 12 gallons on average man's body weight, 12 gallons of blood and water. So by the time you swallow, let's say, 20 or 40 part per million silver solution, you've turned that into, you know, a hundredth of one part per million by the time it's systemic. Second thing, a lot of folks are confused about the word colloidal and ionic, and rightfully so. All of us are kind of married to using the term colloidal because it's really the only marketing word that is effective with the undiscerning consumer. If you're really into this kind of thing and you really study the science to colloidal and ionic silver, you'll come to find that these are two entirely different silver species, and there's even a third called silver oxide, which is never mentioned, which it really should be because it is a considerable constituent of the final solution once you make whether a homemade batch or even buy something from the store. Ionic silver is what 9 out of 10 folks are making at home that they think they're making colloidal silver. Ionic silver defines the process of electrolysis, of submerging two electrodes in water and passing a current through the water between the electrodes. You're dissolving, that's the chemical term, for releasing an atom less its outer electron in the case of silver. You're dissolving silver ions into water. So what you have at the end of a production is about 90 to 99% ionic silver. Now, absent of salt, i.e. the stomach, hydrochloric acid, chloride is a salt. Outside of that environment, silver ions, I believe, are what you want. They're the most powerful charged form of silver, and they are the smallest piece of silver that can exist in the world of physics. So if you're concerned about particle sizes, things like that, nothing is smaller than an ion. And if you are dealing with particles, particles are kind of dead weight. They're not charged species. They are complete chunks of metal. They're not ionic.
They're not reactive, in other words.
Yeah, they're not reactive, and they do have an advantage in certain areas. But you'd be surprised to find that 6 out of the 7 common ways that you would ever use silver favor ions and not particles. So there's a lot of misinformation about colloidal and ionic, and everyone thinks that colloidal is just colloidal and ionic is some term that somebody else may be even using as a marketing term. That's just not the case. In the stomach, you do want particles. Particles will survive the hydrochloric acid environment. They'll survive bloodstream longer because the bloodstream is riddled with chloride. I think, you know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 part per million of chloride. So silver ions, if they don't oxidize something, which is the chemical process of stealing an electron from another substance, they will eventually compound into a near useless form of silver called silver chloride, and the body exhausts it in small concentrations. So it's the least efficient way of ingesting silver, unless you have a logical reason, food poisoning. What better method of delivery would there be than direct delivery into the stomach? But when you're talking about things like an eye infection, I'm sorry?
Yeah, can I cut in here for just a second? Because I remember seeing the situation where some dentists were experimenting with silver solutions that were actually being not only topically applied to the gums, but literally, you know, forced up between the teeth and the gums themselves, and was being really very effective in dealing with a lot of the serious gum diseases that can lead to tooth decay. And I'd like to inject a little anecdote here, if I may, because the reason I got interested in your product line here, my wife very much is I don't want to say fan, but very much understands the healing properties of silver. And one of the things that I have discovered in my studies over the years, coming from a scientific background and being a real history nut, because I'm old enough to have seen so much of it, is looking back, you'll see things that are sort of traditional or superstitious, and if you study them long enough, you'll come to understand there actually is something there that people were observing, and they didn't understand the science of what they were seeing, but they were smart enough to say, you know, when we do this, we get that. And you're probably very much aware of this idea that silver has always had this sort of magical aura to it. You know, you use it to kill a werewolf and so forth and things like that. But if you get to this situation where, like, somebody's getting married, and what is the big traditional gift that you give to a newlywed couple? It's silver goblets. Why not gold, especially for royalty? And the reason for that is during the great plagues in Europe, during the sweating sickness that that hit during the reigns of Henry VII and Henry VIII in Great Britain, it was noticed that people who were using silver utensils seemed to not get the illnesses anywhere near as much as people using wood or even gold. And that's why gold as utensils, even for royalty, went out of fashion, and why silver has this sort of aura about it of magical, you know, drinking to your health and so forth, and why it's become the traditional metal for high-end eating utensils, and why a pair of silver goblets is the traditional gift to a newlywed couple. The idea being that as you eat with these utensils and you drink from these goblets, that you are ingesting minute amounts of silver, and it's aiding you in fighting off certain infections. And it's because of that little historical link that, you know, I've really been paying attention to this whole question of silver. And without necessarily getting into the extreme detail physics and chemistry, obviously, you know, old cultures, Renaissance, medieval times even, understood something was going on involving silver that made it something that you wanted to have on your person to keep you healthy. And I think this all kind of ties in with this whole situation of, you know, colloidal silver or ionic silver today being recognized as efficacious against certain infections.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you've done such a good job at summarizing some of the history to silver, because that's something we can go on and on about in modern-day uses, you know, as silver catheters, as linings for water tanks. I mean, I don't even want to begin starting. It goes on and on. You know, silver is one of the most antibacterial metals that we know of. And even though silver is not magic and it shouldn't be viewed as that, the processes that it performs in the body are very easy to understand and there's not much mystery to it. The fantastic thing about silver is its definition of extreme lack of toxicity. And that's, you know, another thing I'd like to clear up for folks, that silver is a heavy metal, but you need to keep in mind that certain heavy metals we would die without, iron and copper.
Exactly.
Heavy metals. Big misnomer. Heavy metals needs to not imply toxic. That's absolutely not the case. Silver is a completely non-toxic heavy metal, and there are others. Although silver is probably the least toxic metal that you can consume. That's why no one ever gets themselves in trouble with silver. That's why there's no liver poisoning. That's why there's no kidney toxicity. You can read the EPA's own admission that silver is a benign metal in the body. It's just passed. The only known problem with silver is making silver compounds that get caught in the skin and cause the 300 people in 3,000-year history the blue skin condition called argyria. That's it. There is no other neurological, muscular, no other associated side effects based on silver.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your product, your actual product.
Well, my goal was to design the first professional medical-grade quality device, not a hobby kit, not batteries and sterling silver wires, you know, not very crude devices, kind of like shooting pool with a broomstick. That's what most of the generators on the market are. There's very little information provided with them. You're really on your own with a lot of the generators out there. So I wanted to design a product that was maintenance-free to begin with, There is absolutely no need ever to replace the electrodes. I've given you 1.3 ounces of pure silver, 4 nines of purity. The generator features things that haven't been invented, like dynamic polarity reversal. Polarity reversal is the feature that allows the electrodes to stay clean during production and not grow those long whiskers of silver that drip into your solution and settle to the bottom, messy solutions. I've created dynamic polarity reversal, which increases the frequency of the oscillation as more silver is dissolved, which continues the control buildup.
Mario, we got to take a break for commercials.
Yeah.
Mario, we got to take a break for commercials. Stay with me, obviously. I'm going to bring you to the next segment. I want to keep on talking about how your appliance actually works. We'll be right back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're talking with Mario Cifaldi about the Silver Lungs system of generating ionic silver, various other silver compounds, nebulizing them for inhalation. And just looking at the appliance itself at his website, it's a very simple, elegant device. A lot of it's basically standard stuff you'd find in any laboratory or doctor medical supply place. It's not really, exotic and kind of out there. It would look at home in any kind of doctor's office. Obviously, right now we're seeing the orthodox medical establishment and the government are starting to really come down on alternative treatments and therapies. Certainly we have the situation where they're trying to come down on supplements. They literally want to create a situation where people are going to need a prescription just to buy vitamins. And longtime listeners to the show know that my wife and I have a very good reason to be very distrustful of the orthodox medical establishment, which is certainly why we have a much more open mind toward looking at these various alternatives. What is the state of research that is supporting the use of silver for medical purposes? Is there a lot of opposition to it from the more orthodox side? How's the public? I guess what I'm asking is, in the war for public acceptance, what's going on right now? How far along are we getting?
Well, it's hard to say when silver will be targeted. It is one of the big ones, of course. It's already been banned in all of Europe, the entire European Union. It can only be sold in things like soap or counter disinfectants or things like that. So it's coming here. As far as the fight that's on, it's really coming from third parties. It's coming from, like, arms of pharmaceuticals, like environmentalist groups trying to make a case that silver is toxic to cells when, contrary to popular belief, silver ions don't just go right into cells. Cells are very particular about what they metabolize, and metals don't just walk right into a cell and cause a problem. So that's the only case that they've ever been able to build. But as far as the war against that, there's no real big current war that I know of, other than under-the-table type of efforts to shut down silver production.
Okay, but just getting back to the situation about silver toxicity, I mean, everybody wears silver jewelry. I mean, I don't. My body chemistry is such when I put on silver jewelry, I get black marks and everything. But prior to the advent of these little digital cameras that everybody's using to take pictures of their family and everything, we all used film cameras. And photographic film emulsions are based on silver. And so you have all these photographers for decades and decades that are, like, handling the film, especially if they have their own dark room and they're dealing with all these chemicals, and the silver has never proved to be toxic in any of those environments. I don't know of any photographers, even with their own dark room, whoever succumbed to any kind of a toxic reaction based on silver. And a lot of these, especially as silver started to become more valuable, a lot of large-scale labs would have silver recovery systems where used film would be dissolved and the metallic silver recovered, and that's a chemical solution. Nobody ever got sick from that. We had one of those when I was back at Robert Abel & Associates.
Oh, absolutely. The case to make a toxic case for silver, the only thing that the environmentalist groups or even the EPA that looks into this are based on silver compounds, silver nitrate, bromide, fluoride, sulfadiazine. These are silver compounds. It's the other constituent that's toxic. Silver is just kind of stuck along for the ride. So, every effort that they have made to try to build a case against silver is really futile, and even the uneducated, undiscerning non-chemists can see through it.
Well, maybe they're all werewolves over at the EPA. I mean, considering their performance here during the Fukushima disaster, I think EPA and even FDA's credibility is rapidly, rapidly on the wane here, and we're beginning to understand that a lot of the things that we're told that we should not involve ourselves with have nothing to do with whether they're good or bad for us, but merely to protect some established corporate interests marketing. and so forth. And that's not saying that we know one way or the other, but at this point I'm not willing to shut my eyes on a new approach to dealing with illness simply because somebody in a government office said, oh, you shouldn't be looking at that, because we've discovered the hard way that, you know, these government restrictions on alternative therapies are usually there to protect somebody's established business practice, and that's not always necessarily what's best for the people.
Absolutely. And a big piece of information that a lot of folks are not aware of is that in 1920, the FDA approved silver as an antibiotic agent. It was removed specifically through the efforts of the pharmaceuticals who were just bringing into the market their antibiotics by name, their patented products. And if you think about it, it's not up for debate whether or not silver is an antibacterial. You know, end of story. But if you can't make money with it, if you can't patent it, and it has no side effects whatsoever, and it's highly effective, and it's still used worldwide in other countries, that's a threat. Mm-hmm. How could you make money with that? It's just very common sense that the pharmaceuticals need to remove the things that potentially threaten their business, or educate the people that there are natural things that you should be looking into.
Well, I mean, look how many of the medications that are being sold by prescription at very, very high markups are actually just distilled from natural plants. I mean, Valium comes from valerian, Digitalin is from foxglove, aspirin comes out of birch and willow bark, and they're trying to basically say you can't buy these compounds in their natural form at the health food store anymore. You're going to have to go get the version that we've tinkered around the molecules with, and so that we could patent the situation. And yet, when you know, the thing that really scares me is you'll see all these blockbuster advertising campaigns for the new medication, buy the new Zifaplatin, and at the end they got the guy talking really fast saying, you know, use of this drug may cause your nose to drop off, and it's not our fault when it does. And it's okay. You know, I'm at that stage, and I grew up very, very much in a science environment. I used to work for NASA and everything, but I'm at that stage where I'm really very skeptical of a lot of the stuff that's being sold on TV and at the pharmacy and at the drugstore. And I'm like saying, oh, I'm open to the idea of looking at something a little bit different. If I were to, you know, heaven forbid, come down with a cancer or something like that, I'm not sure that I would be willing to trust myself to the orthodox medical establishment, mostly because I got to see my mother die from her cancer treatment. I don't think the cancer killed her. I think the cancer treatment killed her. And it's scary. Mario, we got to take one more commercial break. We'll be right back. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're finishing up here with Mario Cifaldi. And Mario, before I let you wrap up here, a couple of questions people in the chat room are talking about. They are a little dismayed at the current cost of prepared silver colloidal silver ionic silver solutions. And, of course, obviously with the price of silver climbing every day as an investment as well as industrial material and medical supply, I think it has to be expected that it's not going to be the cheapest thing that you're going to find. So I guess the question here is, you know, what is an actual normal therapeutic dose? You know, it's not like you take a lot of the stuff to do what you're doing, and that kind of offsets the price of setting up one of these systems here. What's a normal dose just sort of maintaining and keeping yourself healthy and bacteria-free?
Well, what I need to remind folks of is the value of direct delivery of colloidal and ionic silver right into the mucous membranes of the nose and to infuse the lung tissues with silver. That's my first approach. If you're only interested in drinking silver, you have to know that you are handicapped from the get-go by drinking silver. Although mm-hmm. people have had stellar results, my first experience with silver was oral. And I had unexplainable results with an immediate fever relief. I do suggest that you breathe it through the nose and the lungs, because these are the wide open areas that receive all the toxins when you walk around. As far as oral ingestion, I like to keep it anywhere between 1 and 4 ounces on an empty stomach, preferably in mm-hmm. the middle of the night. You can drink it once a day. I never drink silver internally. It's always nose and lungs. Mm-hmm. The only time that I target the stomach with silver is if that unexpected food poisoning happens to be the case, or if there's a stomach virus that moves down into the gut area. You have no other mm-hmm. method of getting the silver in that area. That's why we promote the lung nebulization, because things that you catch on a daily basis, pneumonia, influenzas, bronchitis, these are lung-specific issues. And when you have the ability to put silver instantly into the lung environment, undiluted, separate from the stomach, instantly in the lung environment, this is a completely different delivery method. You're talking mm-hmm. about 1,000 times the concentration and potency of silver instantly right where it actually needs to be. So that's the angle that we've tried to steer the consumer into, is the value of silver in the nose and the lungs. But then again, oral,
and it
like
sounds
say,
to me like you'd actually be using, you'd actually be using less of the solution to, in the nebulizer than simple oral ingestion, which I think was the
absolutely.
Concern
with the if you ingest a teaspoon of silver through a nebulizer to get the equivalent dosage to the lungs, once it's gone systemic, you'd have to drink about 32 ounces of silver to get what one teaspoon would do breathing through a nebulizer.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot more sense there. Well, I got to tell you, it looks like a fascinating project, and my wife is already saying, we need to get one of those things. But before we let you go, could you share everybody, obviously your website is reachable through the banner ad you have at whatreallyhappened.com. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about your products, where to find them, anything else that you want to share with them?
Our products are based only on our website, info@silverlungs.com if you have any questions. The URL, of course, is silverlungs.com. And again, just want to remind folks that we do make the only professional medical-grade device on the market to create endless solutions. There is no maintenance, no replacement parts. This is a one-time purchase. It only requires the use of tested distilled water, and we even provide the water test meter in the kit so that you can verify and prove that you have perfectly pure water before you begin your process. It creates 20 and 40 part per million, has an automatic shutoff. It's like using a coffee machine. It is truly designed for a fifth grader to use. It is very simple. And though it looks intimidating, it is a brainless product to use. Very simple.
How long is the one set of those electrodes, the silver electrodes, how long do they last?
I have made 4,000 batches on the same set of electrodes for the silver that we sell through the website. And they have not lost 15% of the mass of their original size. So I have to call the electrodes endless. I make silver every day. I've done so for 3 years on the same set of electrodes, and they are nowhere close to exhausted.
Well, that's something that a lot of people are really, especially, again, with the price of silver going up, that's going to be something they're going to want to definitely be aware of. It sounds like a wonderful little gizmo. It really, really does. And, again, coming from my background and my experience, I have an open mind for all different ways of treatment simply because the orthodox medical establishment is so profit-driven, and my wife and I have both had very, very bad experiences with it. My mother did, and I'm ready to explore new horizons and new ideas and just say, you know, there might be something there. And again, when you look back through history, you know, what they called magic, we call science. But the end result is they saw something was going on. When silver was around, they didn't get as sick. And it doesn't matter what they called it, you know, they were smart enough to pick up on that. And I think this is just, you know, a logical progression, the modern incarnation of something that's just been known and understood for 1,000 years.
Absolutely. Very well said.
All right, well, listen, thank you very much. We're going to have you back on the show a little bit further down the road here and kind of stay up to date on the latest developments on this, but thank you an awful lot for spending time with us today. And hopefully a lot of people are going to click on your little banner ad at our website and go look at your little appliance and your other products. And if they don't want to invest in the machine right now, of course, you've already got pre-made silver solutions if they just want to try it and see if it's going to help them with whatever they're dealing with. So they can sort of like wade into the silver very, very, very slowly indeed. So, Mario, once again, thank you very much for spending time with us today.
Thanks so much, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.